and welcome to the Church of the Believers radio broadcast, making a biblical text meaningful to life, a 45-minute program from the Church of the Believers with headquarters in Imatari ST. At the church worship service today, the Reverend Dr. Aaron Zaru will be able to preach from the text, Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14 to 18, and the theme, Peacemaking Through Personal Sacrifice. We will now invite the tribal choir to do the same hymn, and after that, Dr. Liberty will bring you today's message. Please ask a friend to listen.
Let us pray. Hallelujah! Father, we thank you today and all that, God, you are in full control. Bless us, oh God, as we stand before you. Lord, we know that without you we can do nothing, but we trust in the abundance of your mercy. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for what we believe you will do in our midst. Bless us, oh God. Speak to us today. And lead us through in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, we are glad to be back today. It's a blessing that we are here this Sunday. We're going to go back to our series. Actually, we've been doing a series through the book of Nehemiah. But I think 2 Sundays ago, we brought in specific topics. We did some topical things here. To address certain things that the Lord laid on my heart that we needed to talk about, and we needed to study it, and we needed to pray about it. So 2-3 weeks we were not doing our series, but instead we're looking at quite a few areas of ministry that we needed to learn about through the pulpit of preaching. The last time when we talked about the book of Nehemiah, we discussed part 8 of a topic, leading through peacemaking. And that was part 8 we discussed. We discussed this topic, leading through peacemaking. And today we are going to go to part B of the same topic, which is peacemaking through personal sacrifice. And there are 2 ways Nehemiah made peace among his people. The first one, we studied about that. But let me just read the text and look at Nehemiah chapter 5 and look at verse 14. Let's get back a little bit, verse 14. You have that? Say amen. All right, and I'm reading from the New International Bible. Moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the other governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them, in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. Now verse 17. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor, because the demands were heavy on the people. The last verse, remember me with favor, O God, for all I have done for these people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now in part A, what we studied was the root of the problem. In part A, we studied the root of the problems among the Jews, and then the solution that God laid on the heart of Nehemiah, and then the methods that he used to unite the people of God. Now whenever you are doing something, make sure that you have some means through the power of the Holy Spirit to unite your people. What you can do, sometimes you go out of the way of doing something, even that will be somehow people will not understand, what is he doing? Nehemiah did some things in Jerusalem that his people began to see what's going on here. So, the root of the problem that we talked about last 4 weeks ago, let me just summarize that before we get to part B of the same topic today. When the people came together, the people complained that they needed food to survive. When all these things were happening in Jerusalem, then you know that Sambalat, Tobiah, and Goshen, they were against who? Nehemiah, and they wanted to do all kinds of things, and they were threatening to fight and all that. Besides that, the people themselves came together and said, we are having problems too. And the problems here are the roots of the problem. One, we are poor, we don't have food to eat. And the second thing, we mortgage our fields, vineyards, and homes for food. Now we don't have anything to eat, we are poor, so the little vineyards we have, the farm we make, we give it out to get food to support our family. What can we do, Nehemiah? We can't continue this work. It's a tough thing to continue such a work when we own nothing, when we will own nothing. I got my field, I finished giving it out already, and I'm still hungry. But yet I'm building a wall. Why should I work? Hallelujah. And the third one, some of them borrow money to pay taxes to the king for their fields and vineyards. Now, you know that every citizen of a country, what do you do? We support the government by paying what? By paying your tax. If you have a house, if you have a tax that you have to pay for that house, if you are making business, it's setting a percentage that you pay to the government, and so that the government will be able to run the country.
If you are talking about, we need good roads in Liberia. We need good buildings.
We want the government to do so and so thing. Yes. Right, that's a good demand.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing that you are talking about. But you got to pay your share.
Are you there?
Yeah.
You got to pay your share. And you have to pay further out of government, pay.
Yeah.
But sometimes somehow don't even pay taxes and receive the government. What are you doing? First of all, the government does not have any money of her own.
The money will have to come from you. We are the citizens. We have to support the government so that the government will be able to do what? To do the work of the ministry.
Praise the Lord.
That's the same thing we have in the church. If you don't send your offering to build your church, the church will not be built by itself.
Well, I'm not talking about other churches who sit down,
they just look at foreign support, you know. And one thing I know from my study of church growth and different things,
if you say that I'm a church, you must be able to make your own expenses. You can't depend on John Brown to do everything for you overseas.
Then you're not a church. Then you are a beggar. Let me say that again.
What makes a church is the church is able to do her own expenses.
But if you can't do your own expenses, like you got to do your hair overseas,
for Peter to call or another church to come and give you all the money you need, then you are a beggar in another church.
Is it wrong for somebody to help you? No.
But whatever help that comes from
overseas, it becomes a blessing for your church.
It's not what you depend on to operate as a church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Praise to the Lord. So, these people were saying,
Nehemiah, we had to
get rid of our fields to pay taxes. What can we do? We don't have no money. And then
the worst thing of all,
he said, among us, our children are in slavery. Nehemiah, how can we do this thing here? You know, let's look at this. Let's look at reality. These poor people, they didn't have anything, and they say, well, how can we do this?
Now, from so that kind of gives you a summary so that when I come back to the ministry today, the church will be connected. Hallelujah.
It's almost a month now since we left Nehemiah.
So, here is when Nehemiah called them into a meeting with all these problems, the nobles and the rich people of Jerusalem, they all assembled before Nehemiah. And Nehemiah learned, and it was true, that they were selling their own children to each other
to be slaves. Praise the Lord.
And the Bible, which is the constitution for the Jewish people, says no Jewish male or female
should be sold to anyone. But they were doing it.
When Nehemiah heard,
what did we learn that day? Nehemiah was angry. Nehemiah said, well, since I've been buying back my own people who are sold to other people,
I took my own money and bought them back. Get their freedom. But you are still doing the same inside them again.
Yeah.
See how human beings can behave. One thing, they don't even have time because they want to go out of them, but they don't even have time to obey.
Yeah. And so they were going to their own thing, hallelujah.
But Nehemiah said, he called and he got angry, and he called the rich people at the time in that place and told them,
you need to stop what you are doing.
The first thing you do, you are doing it against God Almighty. And this is the same thing our forefathers did. And today, we went into slavery. Today, we got no home. Strip us, occupy our land. Hallelujah.
Today, even in our own home, Nehemiah said, stranger have more power than the citizen. The stranger will tell you how much they can pay you. If you don't like it, you go.
And sometimes you wait and the mercy are not paying you. When you talk about your own pay, you can go to jail for that.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
So Nehemiah said, you cannot do this kind of thing. Can't do it. Nehemiah got so up angry. Now, what we talk about through
the last time was about Nehemiah got angry, right? Sometimes when somebody gets angry,
no, what are you angry? Aren't you a man of God? You never heard that before? Or are you a woman of God? You should not get angry.
That's not true. God himself can get angry.
But God's anger is what we call righteous anger.
Yeah.
Somebody is doing something wrong and you know that it will hurt the person and you can
the anger that leads into sin. You get angry, and then you go to the guilty man and kill somebody. That's an anger. That's what we're referring to. You should not get to anger that will lead you into committing sin.
Praise the Lord.
But if your son or your daughter or your husband is doing something that will discredit
your home, that will discredit the ministry, and if you see it and you talk to him and you talk to her
and she doesn't want to listen,
and you get upset and say, I can't see this for you to do this thing against God and against our family,
your anger is righteous.
I don't know, everybody puts it, y'all God people, y'all can't get attention. And they fail to realize God himself can get back.
You get angry.
But it's righteous. So Nehemiah got angry.
He said, you can't do this to your own people. You can't sell them into slavery. And you keep doing that.
So Nehemiah went before them. He said, are you going to reach a deal with me today?
And they said, yeah, Nehemiah, we agree. We have done wrong. We have done wrong against our own people. And Nehemiah got what? He tied something with it before, and he shook it before them. But here, I explained to you.
And that is an indication when you shake it. When you shake that, it's something like a rope.
And it ties on the end. When you shake it, what it means in Judaism at the time is that if you agree to that agreement, you will be shaken out of the house of God.
It's like this time now, you know, we don't,
many churches don't even have that. It's like today, if what we are advising you as a member, and every time you keep doing this thing and we have talked for years and you want to stop, the next time you do it, we will put you out of the church.
That was a sign.
And Nehemiah said, I'm shaking this right now as an indication that if all of you know, if you refuse to do what God has required, then you will be shaken out of the house of God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So now, what are we going to talk on today?
I just brought that to you. Well, we have been here a month now since we left Nehemiah.
All right, today we will only focus on part B, which is peacemaking through self-sacrifice. Now, what we do in this sermon, we're going to look at the principles that Nehemiah used.
Listen carefully.
First thing that Nehemiah did was he denied
himself of the benefit he's supposed to receive. Listen carefully.
Nehemiah, as governor of
Judah, if you are a governor at a time in this country,
if they say you are a governor
of an area, the people that you're governing will collect money, they will collect food, they will collect everything for your house. Are you there?
So a governor, whenever you were selected to be governor, the food you eat, the money you get, everything will come from the people. So they gotta do everything for the governor. But what Nehemiah did, Nehemiah said,
I don't want any of you to give me anything because you don't have anything. Let me say that again.
Nehemiah said, I don't want you,
even though it is my privilege, I suppose to own it.
Previous governor, even though you were poor,
but yet you collected the food that they needed. You collected everything that they needed, and you gave to them.
But for me, because you are my people, I will not allow you to get money or to get food or to get sheep to get goods when you don't have it. That means you will still sell your own children to do so.
That means, did you get what you're doing here? The man is supposed to bring some benefit. But he said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pay.
I don't want to pay as a governor.
The Lord has blessed my life,
and I worked for the king many years, and I got money in my own pocket.
I can feed myself. But you are so poor. I don't want you to start selling your daughter before you're going to give me food.
You don't understand what I'm saying. Praise the Lord.
Little man said, I don't want you to sell your daughter and sell your farms and go and run around to pay the allotment that I due to me. But I will set you free and I will feed myself while I'm telling you.
You're not understanding that. Somebody else have a doing here?
Nehemiah had the right to the allotment of the king every month. And then look, Nehemiah said something here.
Let me come back to that. I just want you to see it. This is what Nehemiah was saying here. And I love it. And I want you. Let me read that again. He said, now, you see here? In verse 17. When you go to 14, there are a lot of things that people will collect. Let me just go to 14. Okay. You say, moreover, my silver, neither I and my brother ate the allotment to the governor. But the other governor, those preceding me, placed heavy burden on the people and took shekels of silver from them. Addition to food and wine, they are assisting, also lauded it over them. But of our reverence for God, I did not do that. Now, he didn't do that, but look what he did there out of his own pocket. Because he worked with the king, he didn't waste his money, he had $2,000 in the pocket, he came with to help his people, and he said, I don't want you to pay me, because you don't have it yourself. I don't want you to pay because you don't have it yourself. But look what was happening. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, 150 persons eating at a man's table, you know how much it costs per day. Are you there?
Yeah.
You know how much it costs per day. 150 eating at a man's table. That means the room where he had, okay, the dining room was somehow like the size of the church. Because you have 150 persons sitting to eat. That's a lot of people, and it was a lot of money.
Now let me come back to that. Alright? As well as those who came to us from surrounding nations,
and not only the 150 persons, but other people who came to visit him. Praise the Lord. Are you there?
Yeah.
Other people who came to visit him besides the 150 persons are registered that were to sit at his table every day. Other people that would come to see him, they were gone.
Probably over 175 or 200 persons was eating at his table every day.
And now, you as a human being, today, if you have 100 persons at your table, how many people? You
will buy almost a bag of rice. I don't talk about the meat, I don't talk about the fish, I don't talk about the people who will prepare the food. But Nehemiah said, 150 beside those who came around. But look, each day, an ox, 6 choice sheep.
One ox, big one, 6 sheep, 6. Are you there?
Yeah.
One big ox is very big. Then beside that, sheep. Nehemiah said, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Good one. They will kill every day to feed the people that will eat at the table.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All from his own what? He was entitled that is the people to pay for those things.
Yeah.
But he said, you don't mind it. So if I say, okay, pay it, you will cry in my name. But let me take care of myself because I love you.
Yeah.
Let me take care of myself because I know my God will do it and this country will be set free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, one ox and what? 6 choice sheep. Some poultry like chicken,
that may be maybe 100 or so to join those things,
were prepared. And every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine of all kinds.
You say, every 10 days, I will buy all the supply of wine and everything. Because when my people come, and over 200 people eating that day, they got to drink wine, they got to drink this, they got to drink that. I got to buy it and give it to them.
And that was supposed to come from my people, but I said, I can't allow them to do it.
Yeah.
I hope we get a leader that they don't help Nehemiah one day. Who will sit and say, I make all the money around the world, but I come to help my people and I don't want them to give me anything, but instead I will give them back.
But the sad thing we have in our country is the leader will come and exploit everything we have. And then we still remain poor.
Hallelujah! And when that comes, they will tell you, this is what we will do. They will come in your village and say, that village shall, Motorola will repeat you when you elect me. Let me see all the villages with all the promises that were made. Go to those villages. They don't even have nothing there. No road. So this time, I hope we get a leader that they are like. One day, who will get back to the country. We don't need an extractor who will come and suck everything from our land. We don't need that kind of person. We don't need that kind of leader at all, because we want somebody that Nehemiah who will come and say, oh, when you go into the hinterland, the kind of house that the person being is so embarrassing for the country. They couldn't even get drinking water to drink.
How did you know? I just took a trip in my country, in my own hometown. Somebody, what they drink?
Praise the Lord.
But Nehemiah said,
we want somebody like Nehemiah. Who will say,
I love my country.
And when it comes, that one will tell you.
I want to build a country.
I will make sure that every village has a road. I will make sure that all the schools are supplied adequately. I will make sure that so many things happen, and I will test during my administration, when I am the representative, when I'm the senator, when I'm the president, everything will be okay. But everything is not okay right now.
Nothing is okay right now. Nothing is okay. We thank God we have life.
But the really city is on now, Maryland, Ganta, and Maryland Road will be blocked up at the past there.
Well,
we are poor, but yet we still get you food to eat, you know?
Nehemiah said, I don't want anything from my people. We want a leader like that.
We want a leader who have worked and have enough money and will look at it under Liberia and know that country is poor. We don't have so many things. And he kept coming and said, I'll break. I'm serving here. I don't want no pay. Even though if the country wants to pay me, I will take it for the poor. But I want to tell you, you know how they call that the educated people are politicians?
Let me tell you that. You know why they do that when they don't have kind of promises?
In politics, they call it noble lie.
The man is a noble person,
but he lied to you. And you figure that because he's from the United States of America,
he has worked with so and so company for many years, he got a lot of money,
and he got more than 5, 6, 7 cars in his yard. So whatever he tells you, you will do it. That's not true.
This is the problem we have in our country. We don't even know who to vote for.
Some of you somebody come and buy a vote from you. Come and you find out they joke in the country.
So we need to change those things. Nehemiah said, I am here,
I don't need anything.
God has blessed my life. And people that come to me,
friends that come to me, what my people will do, I will do out of my own power.
You know, to feed more than 150 persons
a day is not an easy new crap. You try 15 in your home. Try about 15 in your home.
Then you will know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Nehemiah said, I will make a sacrifice. I will not take anything. I will not take no salary.
I will not take nothing. But I will support myself because God blessed me and I have money. But God has sent me to rebuild my country, and I will use my own resources. This is the problem. We need leaders. So how many leaders you can ever find, maybe not in Liberia or any other parts of the world,
who would do that? We need Nehemiah type of leader.
We need that kind of leader who would come and say, I can't, don't get nothing. Okay, go way in the village. The person got attacked for your house. That means you all the time house all leaking. All the time house is leaking. Hallelujah. Then you go there and you say, well, I will get one guy went somewhere. He said, when y'all elect me, I will get y'all sick burners. That's why you will buy my boat. I will get y'all sick burners. Since they elect again, if you go down and walk behind you for the dream, you got nothing from it.
That's noble life. Hallelujah. But Nehemiah, as a leader, they do it that way. Are you there?
They do it that way. And I want you to know, Nehemiah said, I didn't do what the people did. And the second thing, you know, Nehemiah just
said, look, I sacrificed myself. I don't need anything, even though I'm going to be paid to feed over 100 persons in my house every day. Nehemiah is saying that. To feed over 100 persons and dignitaries that will come to see me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, when you are a great leader, if you are whatever position you have, the food in your house, they give you allowance. Hallelujah. They give you gas paper that you can go to any gas station and get free gas on the government. And it's sad
that it's so discouraging that some of these very things that people could use to run around for the place where you can sell it with a ball in the street.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
They will take that gas to man, slip and sell it to the boys in the street. Some of them will pay them for it, and then they put it back there to come and sell it.
Hallelujah!
Look at that! Nehemiah said, I can't do that. I will put hand in my own pocket. I'm satisfied with what God has blessed me with.
I will put hand in my own pocket, but I'm not going to do that. Now,
you will say, oh, but Nehemiah owned.
He was working with the king, so he had a lot of money. Praise God. But have you looked at the profile of some of the people that are running in this government?
Some of them say they've been working for this kind of thing, they can't make so many millions of dollars. That's what they said. But guess what will happen tomorrow?
Well, that person said, I ain't a city, want all the money from the country for himself.
Praise the Lord. We need to pray
that God himself will send a Nehemiah for our country to rebuild this country.
Who will see the need of the people?
Who will say, these are poor people, I need to help them, and I need to put hand in my own pocket to help them. And you are saying, that pastor is crazy.
But when you think of me, you told me that if I put that for you, you will help me now. I put that for you. Why can't you help me now?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Help me thank you too. You don't want anybody in my village? You will build school. You will build that. When we gave you our vote, now you got a vote, we are not seeing you after 4 years. Then you carry it back here, when you put it back there, then I will do it this time. You better get out of here.
Don't know how to vote. Now
they turn it back for you. When you put it back there, that's the time to do it. After the other 4 years, then you have it.
We need Nehemiah.
But you know what I'm saying? Nobody can do it. Let me tell you a few people that have done it that I know about.
They acted like Nehemiah. And I love that. I love that. Let me give you one example.
There's one pastor in the United States. They call him Rick Warren. The pastor started a small church and he struggled all his life to plant these churches, and things were not going on fine with him for many years. Hallelujah! And then this Rick Warren began to pray, and God put on his heart for him to write books. So he started writing, and he wrote more than 5 books up to the end of it. But then God came in, and he wrote one book called The Purpose Driven Life.
And that book hit the market.
And millions of dollars are coming in every day for that man. know what the Quran said? That money is not for me.
We need that kind of person. It's not red worry alone, but
there's a man, I'll call him name because I talked with him, but he was need me.
There's a man, I'm not going to talk about American folks alone.
He live about our own country because there's a great man in this country.
There's a man who started the Apostolic Faith Church. His name is Bishop Samuel B. Stepney.
I think here you know that man. He don't give it alone. He are deep in ministry. But one day, when he was alive, and I went to talk with him, and he and myself were talking, then I said, "Oh man, I just want to know how are you deeply in care of since you started this church to the time I'm talking with you." He said, "My son, only God be taking care of me."
Hallelujah! I said, "Oh man, you got no sorry." He said, "No, I got no sorry. Only God be taking care of me."
He said to me, not somebody said, not somebody put it out of bed, but I sat with him. He ordained me.
So that man served his church. To the time that I interviewed him, it was almost like over 40 years when he told me that, praise ye the Lord.
Yeah. That kind of leader who would say, let God's work go on.
But not a leader who would say, I gotta get my debt clean. I gotta get the best cars. I gotta get all these things in my head. Before, no, old man Stepney was not like that.
Let me tell you one thing. And I never meant to put this out because I knew the old man first now. All right. You know where his house was? Here in Bonnie Woods. And I've been to Bonnie Woods. Right side was some school that didn't have a building for the people's house.
I went in that house every time.
He never complained! He never complained. All the bishop was thinking about is that the work of God will prosper, that the churches will be built.
Yeah. That you and myself will start crying.
I need all the money. I want to be the other bishop who's taking so many million dollars per week.
No! But you see,
He is, that man is a Liberian man. He going to be with the Lord. I knew him personally. And I know maybe many great men like Peter tell me that I have never talked with. They are in Liberia who have been sacrificing in their churches for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you are with, if you are hearing me by radio, God bless you. Don't be discouraged. You are doing what God called you to do.
That's all who can get rich in 2 days.
You know what happened when you get rich in 2 days?
That means something wrong. If you can get rich in 2 days, that means something wrong. But I want to bring to you another group.
I'm not a member of that group. But as a scholar, you know, when we do research, and anything that relates to what we say, we're going to bring it out. Amen.
I gotta call their name.
They call that the Jehovah's Witnesses. And you know that group?
Yeah. When I was making research, writing a book one time,
I came on their website and hear what they put there.
Do you have a paid
clergyman? That was the question I was posed on the question. Do you have a paid clergyman?
Let me read what I saw there, okay? Because I got it here. It said, quote, do you have a paid clergy? The witnesses write, following the model of first century Christianity, the Jehovah Witnesses has no paid clergy later division. All baptized members are ordained ministers and share in the preaching and teaching work. Spiritually mature men in each congregation serve as older men or elders. They do so without being paid for their service.
Hello?
When I went on the website, and I didn't, you know, a researcher, you can't see what in print, and that can't be true.
So I went, there's a Jehovah's guy who usually comes to my house, and but when he comes there, because when he and myself talk, then he charged up, he learned some new thing, and he'll go and come back again. He was the leader, one of the leaders in the assembly. So he came to me, I said, buddy, I want to discuss something. He said, okay. Then I said, please tell me what I found on your website. He said, but that's cool, we don't do it. He said, all of us will serve God without any salary.
Well,
don't misunderstand. Is it wrong that when somebody serves God, you don't give him anything? It's not wrong. But when Sarah becomes the focus in front of God, when I go up,
let me say that again. When salary becomes the focus,
then the work of God will not go on. If salary becomes the focus, then of course, myself here now, you know, I went to school, I have my bachelor degree, I have my master, then I have my doctorate.
You know how much you will pay me every month?
Shaking your head. If I took a job outside now, with a student that I've written several books.
You see the point?
If salary is your focus,
that's why most churches in America are empty,
because when the pastor comes in, if he's not paid based off the degree he has, he's going to resign home. Let me say that again. If the pastor comes, he holds a master's degree, the church is going to say, well, according to the labor law, a master's degree is supposed to get so and so per month, supposed to get so and so, all the benefits. If it does not commensurate with the degree you hold, you're going to resign from that church.
So what is pastor looking for? Money.
Hallelujah! Money is not a gospel anymore.
But we need to stand with the church.
I just got to, like, my belief right now, I don't believe in salary. I believe in gift. I believe in gift. That a pastor can be given you a gift. That's what I believe. You can need a salary. The reason why you need a salary is because when you become a salary, if there's $10,000 or $50,000 at the end of the month, when the $50,000 is not there, the deacon will be stranded because you don't have it. Right? But if it comes to gift, this month you gave me $10,000. The following month you gave me $5,000. It's a gift.
You're not understanding what I'm saying.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If they forget, this month God blesses the church. And then I get to the $5,000. The people send me a text. Wow. Oh, praise the Lord. The following month they send me $5,000. I'm not going to complain. Because it's not a salary. It's a gift. I'm getting based upon a blessing in the church. Not based upon what the church does not have.
So, are you getting that? I know some people by radio will say, but what this man is just talking that kind of thing.
But look at scripture. A man of God is to be given gifts.
And in fact, when you take the gift to be what? To be
to be a salary, then the word of God says, we should not what? We should not pay for the word of God. Right?
Yeah.
So what is free, and then you receive a salary for it, is it free now?
Y'all got it.
So I don't believe in salary. I believe in giving the pastor a gift. That's my church here. Thank God they gave me a gift.
Huh? If this Sunday, or whatever Sunday, whatever thing got in your head,
if it's pastor, yeah, but you buy your gift. Just praise the Lord. I ain't doing it. You don't have before.
For 35 years.
34 and a half years.
I didn't receive anything.
But I thank God that they get whatever it is, $1,000. If it's $1,000, I think if it's $2,000, if it's $3,000, oh God, I said, God, you bless me. But if I'm sorry, I'm not going to be here.
But it gives you God. Let me, you got about the Jehovah Witnesses, right?
Eh? And you got about Rick Warren.
Let me talk about somebody from a different background.
Leadership, now, let me think about it. What I was saying here, I said, we leave our leader that's Nehemiah. You may be out there, or you may be sitting right here in the pew today, and say, Nehemiah was a God leader, but we got politicians. But let me tell you, I'm bringing in few of the politicians who did the same thing.
Because they love their country.
Because when they do what? They love their country. And they did the same thing in Nehemiah did.
Maybe we know it. Okay, the first person is what? President George Washington. He was the first American president, commander of the Continental Army, and president of the Constitutional Convention.
The first American president, George who? Washington, served his country and said, my country is just starting, I don't want no salary. Was he a bishop? He was a politician.
He said, I don't want no pay. I love my people.
The country is just happy. I don't want them to give me anything. And he did everything. He didn't
take a pay. And because of that, they call him father of his country.
Eh? Because of that, they call George Washington who? Father of his country.
America. Because he made tremendous sacrifices to his nation and people.
You see, my country is at war. We are divided.
We don't have no money.
I'm serving as president to unite our people, and I don't want anything from them.
Are you there? Oh, yes. And the second person is president. There are two presidents. President Herbert Hoover and John F. Kennedy.
Who don't have Kennedy name? Kennedy Hoover.
Who don't have Kennedy name? President Hoover and Kennedy.
I find America was strong. And Congress said, no, President, we just have to pay you based upon our constitution. Are you there?
He said, okay,
I can't go against the will of the country. But here, what is going to happen?
When they send the salary to him, he had a committee who would do the salary. He don't carry it home, he don't give it.
He gave it to missions. He gave it to poor people.
Now, 1 penny of the salary will get in the bank for himself.
Kennedy, President Hoover. All the money that was given to them as their salary,
they give it back to the poor.
Were they bishop?
Who were they?
Politicians!
If you are boasting that you got a lot of money, that you are this, then of course the poor people in Liberia now.
But you can't help them. But you who say you got a lot of money, you take our money and buy houses overseas. So I'm sorry you haven't even run away and voted. Yeah. Then you leave us in the fire.
Praise the Lord! President Hoover! Herbert Hoover and John F. Kennedy
that they received, but they donated it to charity to meet the needs of other people.
Who is here?
All that political talk that we get in today, let's see after the election, let's see what will happen. Hallelujah.
This is something that is possible and it can be done. Leaders have been doing it.
Today, hear what I want to pray for. We need to pray for a leader like Nehemiah. A leader like Nehemiah who will help to rebuild this land, Liberia. A leader that will stay and see the need. Like Nehemiah say, I'm going to feed myself, but I make sure that the country is developed. I got to make sure that those things that I promised the people will be done.
But so noble lives we have around us in all the political pieces. I was looking at something that I read on the internet. One of the presidential aspirants were saying, oh, when I become president, I'll bring PhD program in the budget. I said, all right, that's all right. Be president of the president. What are you going to do?
This is what will happen. So, church, and what I'm going to encourage you is, we need to pray for who? For a leader like Nehemiah for this coming election.
That God will send us a leader like Nehemiah who will rebuild this country and see the need, shall we say.
Shall we stand as we prepare our hearts to go home? All that I've said today, I want you to just take this. I mean, probably you may not be able to take all home, but take this one point. As a man and a woman of God, we need to learn how to sacrifice for the calling that God has done upon our lives. Your coming, accepting Jesus Christ, is a calling on you. So now you may say, oh, I'm not pastor, I'm not missionary, I'm not this, I'm not that. But your calling alone, walking in the house of God to accept Jesus Christ, we all need to make sacrifices. And so that the work of God will go forward. Fellow pastors, we are called to preach the gospel. That are not for salary to be the main thing. Because the gospel is free. And whatever God gives us to preach the gospel, we should be satisfied to preach the gospel no matter what. Most churches are empty because the little church is not able to pay her pastor. So the pastor is too qualified, he's gone. He don't look for the doctor who will give him that money. We need to pray for our country that God will send your mind to rebuild this country. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with the people of God forever. In Jesus' name. Why don't you say amen? Yeah. Let us say thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Turn around and say somebody rest on you. Let's say God bless you. You just listened to the senior pastor of the Headquarters Church of the Believers in Imatari Esti, the Reverend Dr. Ara Zawibu Liberty, preach from the text Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14 to 18, and the theme Peacemaking Through Personal Sacrifice. If you desire of worshiping with us, we are located opposite the Don Bosco Youth Center in Imatari Esti. Our worship service starts at 11 a.m. and ends at 12:30 p.m. Thanks for listening today. We will be back next week, same time, same station. I am Afra Jeezy, your producer. Bye-bye.
I was there.